Let's tell the listeners a beautiful story about wallets. Over a year ago, I saw you carrying a wallet, and I immediately went out and bought that same wallet because I thought it was amazing.
Yes, and that wallet I saw, Jackie Tran was using it, saw it, wanted it immediately, asked him who made it, and he told me it was Andar Wallets, and it was one of the coolest wallets I've ever seen. It was nice and compact. It has the RFID protected. I mean, it was a really awesome, well-made wallet. Yeah.
It's actually great to hear. I didn't know you guys had been into these for so long.
Yeah.
So there's something strange about these wallets is that they push it to the limit and they do something different that other wallets don't do. I'm carrying this wallet right now. It's called the Turner that has this little pull tab on it. So like when I load my cards into it, I can pull this pull tab and all my cards slide out. They have this beautiful wallet that just dropped called the Pilot that has a little rotating wheel on the bottom.
I'm going to snag me one of those for sure.
That when you load your cards in, you can roll the wheel on your leg, you can flip it with your thumb, and your cards just pop out just enough to kind of grab them and pull them out. I had a Pilot, their original Pilot, a year ago.
That's the one, that hooked us.
That's the one that hooked us. And you have no idea how many people at stores when I was paying, how many people saw me flip those cards out, wanted that wallet, and wanted to find out where we got that wallet. So we contacted Andar and told them this story, and they gave us a promo code that you guys can use to get
And I want to throw in a personal discount because I'm new to the game, but for me, I'm a guy who forever has been the guy who has that wallet that is like 5 inches thick and just filled with crap.
Changed my life.
So transitioning over to the Andar wallets, and I've got the Griffin, it has literally changed everything. I couldn't even sit down with a wallet in my pocket. It was so big. So in this case, it was a matter of kind of paring down, using the different kind of slots, the RFID protection I like. I also like that the wallet has like a built-in money clip. I've always thought money clips are cool, but kind of not really practical.
Yeah.
Like you can carry your cards in one. This combines the two. So it combines a money clip, combines kind of this easy access to the your ID or to credit cards. And it's literally changed my game. I love it.
Yeah.
I haven't looked back.
It's a must for someone who wants to go from that huge
10-pound wallet
down to a front pocket wallet.
Oh, it's awesome. It's awesome. And it's stylish. I know my wife, when I first got it, she was like, that's actually a really cool wallet. Like she picked up on that without me even bringing it up. So
Do you have the link in the promo code for them?
So yeah, if you guys are interested in checking out these amazing wallets, go to andarwallets.com/asteroidfactory. And the coupon code is asteroid15.
For 15% off.
Nice.
15%.
That's awesome.
Do it.
Do it.
You won't regret it.
No, you won't.
Your pockets will thank you.
Oh, look at this guy. Go to andarwallets.com/asteroidfactory. And the coupon code is asteroid15.
For 15% off.
Nice.
15%.
Doc, you build a time machine in a DeLorean?
Of course, Marty. Right now, I need you to go with me back to 1982 and visit the manufacturing facility for old video games. The world depends on it.
Whoa, heavy. You mean we have to go back and visit an asteroids factory?
Precisely.
Okay. As long as I can stop off and try to make out with my mom.
But why, Marty? That doesn't have anything to do with our plan.
Shut up, old man. I want to kiss my mom. Asteroids factory?
Hey there, guys and girls. Welcome to another episode of the Asteroid Factory Podcast. We're your host, James Von Doom.
I'm Chewy.
And Three Toes of Gary.
Our nerd knowledge is on point.
You're goddamn right it is.
Yeah. What are we talking about this week?
The majesty of movie theaters?
We will be.
Something like that. I think we're going to try to hint on like what we look for in a movie theater experience.
Yeah. We'll talk about kind of the changing landscape, a little bit of how things are moving towards home and what we like versus what we still go back for.
Yeah. Good. Let's get into our first asteroid pick of the week, and I'll go for it.
Go for it.
Okay. Here we go. I'm gonna introduce Three Toe, so you got this one.
Oh. Chewy's pick of the week.
Oh, jeez.
Mine's going to be so much better. Thanks for lowering the bar for me, Three Toes.
Yeah.
My pick of the week this week is deep fakes as entertainment. There's a lot of time that I dedicate now to hunting out the best new deep fakes because they have new deep fakes posting on YouTube and social media all the time now. And there are big hitters in the field now. Mm-hmm. There's maybe four or five now that I really follow just to make sure that I'm abreast of everything they are doing. Yeah. There was that, I'm not sure, have you guys seen a lot of the deepfake stuff that's going on now?
I just saw, did you see the one with Ron Swanson as the cast of Full House?
That's done by, I think, Dr. Frankenstein.
Holy shit.
Yeah, someone takes the beginning of Full House.
Oh, God.
And puts Ron Swanson's face on every single character.
And it's good.
And it looks, I mean, it's creepy good.
Oh, and it's such a great pick. Ron Swanson's hilarious all day long.
I apologize for not knowing his real name.
Oh, no. He does great work. I think it's Dr. Frankenstein.
Dr. Frankenstein.
Dr. Frankenstein. Yeah, that's what it is. The Corridor Crew.
Yes, you like those guys.
Is one of the teams that I sent over to you guys. They're the ones that found a Tom Cruise impersonator.
Yep.
And deepfaked Tom Cruise's face on top of it. And for the most part, looks amazing. But even they said, like, there's little things they have to tweak and to kind of get right.
Their Keanu one was.
That's okay. When we last left off, you guys turned me on the Keanu one, which was fucking great.
Yeah.
But that's kind of the limit of my deepfakes. I don't know a lot of other ones.
Have you seen the one where they take The Shining and put Jim Carrey's face over it?
Only non audio. I need to see it.
Amazing. Like,
that's not.
I think so. From my basic understanding of deepfakes, is that it's a program, it's an algorithm that you load as much video footage of the person that you want to plaster on as possible. So you load like every movie, every TV show, like everything you have with that person's face. The computer program takes that and then it takes hours and days or weeks to kind of process it. And you can then use that person's face on someone else's like-minded face.
This is so science fiction. It's not fun.
It is nuts.
It's like we have reached the ability to do something like this.
Yeah. There's little idiosyncrasies about it.
There's like a twitch or something you'll see that's not human.
Yeah.
But still, it's fucking terrifying.
Yeah. I was talking to my brother-in-law who's really into visual effects, and he said that there's little things like where if like the nose doesn't match right, it'll totally call it out, or if like the chin is in the wrong place, it'll call it out. So you need the right facial structure on the person that you're pasting onto to kind of get the right effect. It's just freaky, and it freaks me out for the future. I think the first one that went viral, and it's still one of the best ones, was
is it the Bill Hader one?
No, it was the Obama.
Oh yeah, yes,
on
Jordan Peele.
On Jordan Peele when he.
God, that's such a great idea. I haven't seen it yet, but fucking.
Oh, you've never seen it?
No, but he's the best. I mean,
he starts giving like a speech, like a State of the Union, and for the most part, you're like, oh, this is Obama, but then at the end, he starts talking like ghetto,
yes,
and like starts dropping things that Obama would never drop in public, and then you're like, okay, this is wrong, but yeah, it's freaky stuff, and as entertainment, I've spent hours searching for this stuff.
It's great.
Yeah, when I should have probably been watching The Boys originally, or when I should have like been watching like a movie I downloaded. I bought the digital copy of Brightburn when it first came out.
Did you
I haven't watched it yet. No, because
you got to watch it tonight. Did I think it's dropping physical. No, it's I typically wait for physical, which I think is this week. I'll definitely be renting. Have you seen it?
No,
I'm excited.
I've heard good things.
I mean, it's gun produced, and the trailer was very intriguing.
It looks fucking creepy.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I mean, going back to we just talked about The Boys,
right,
which was a satire breakdown meta take on superheroes, and that's the same thing here. And I'm kind of scared now. I should have watched Brightburn before The Boys, I think. I really wish I did, because I think I'm going to walk into Brightburn on this high that I have from The Boys going like. But then again, I think Brightburn's supposed to be more horror.
Yes.
Yeah, it doesn't seem quite.
It's probably more singular in focus, and it maybe takes time a little bit, but it still looks like it's well done.
Yeah, and I love, what's her name?
Elizabeth
Banks. I was just going to say that. Yeah. I'd say she's awesome.
See, that's when you need to have that sexy sound effect queued up, man.
Got it.
Nope, it's not on that board. Oh,
it's not on the board. Should I find it?
Yeah.
Oh, no, take all the time you want. Dead Air is great for a podcast.
Elizabeth Banks.
Didn't she just direct a movie that's going to bomb?
What the fuck just happened?
Wait, didn't she just direct
Charlie's Angels?
Charlie's Angels?
What are you talking about?
The remake of Charlie's Angels?
Have you not seen the trailer?
What?
Did we talk about this on the podcast already?
I thought we did. Kristen Stewart's the lead.
Yeah, we did. Remember we talked about Kristen Stewart's the lead?
I've been drinking. I've been drinking Metallica bourbon for a while.
I don't know if you got enough in you to... Yeah, Picard's in it. Yeah, it looks really...
You probably blocked
it
out.
We did, because I actually like the recent...
Metallica whiskey. Still drinking it on this podcast.
Didn't we used to have like a rating system for movies? I feel like this one is a sandpaper dildo. That's the rating I'm gonna
give. That sounds like the next level of the movie 7. Like, that's fucked up right there.
Yeah, buddy. But no, it looks real.
What's
bad.
The fucking box?
So, sandpaper dildo.
Yeah, that's
yep.
How do you transition off a sandpaper dildo?
All right. Am I going or are you going? Because I got yours queued up.
Okay, you can introduce me.
Yeah. Get ready to have your dicks and clits blown off. You said you're going to blow our dicks off with your... Oh, yeah. I swear to God, that was what you said prior to the...
I'm going
to
yield my suggestion of the week back to you from that.
Shit.
Okay. I'm
dicks and clits. Let's go.
13 years. Mean anything to you guys? 13 years. What's that number mean? Years. It's been 13 years, what I'm going to talk about.
It's been 13 years.
Hey, 13 years, nothing. Fear.
The Walking Dead.
Inoculum.
What in the holy fuck? Okay,
I was just checking out to see your fandom, and clearly neither of you are. So last week, it has been 13 years since a new album or track by this band.
Oh, God, Tool. What the
Thank you. Welcome to my nightmare. So,
first concert I ever went to.
Fuck you. Are you serious?
Yeah, I was 13.
I need to know what the experience was. It was
fucking terrifying. I was...
Was Maynard as like weird back then as he is now?
Do you want to know what he did? Because so do I. He stood with a white like face through the curtain every couple of minutes and then like would go behind the curtain.
He did that back then.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's... What the fuck was that? What was that? Yeah, he's...
Was that a soul escaping?
He's a handful. So, yeah. But this is interesting. Because so this will tie into my pick of the week. So, all right, 13 years since their last album, 10,000 Hours, and people, myself included, I over years I've grown to be quite a fan. I like a lot of their sounds. I like a lot of their tunes. They have a very
they're a great band.
They have a very specific sound.
They're a musician's band.
Yeah, they are, and they're a little bit. People call them kind of a prog metal, which I think is interesting, but it makes sense because I like prog rock. So it has been forever. No, they leaked a couple live tracks that were off the album, but the sound wasn't really good. So they just dropped the first title track of their upcoming album. The album is actually dropping in 2 weeks, the 30th. Title track is called Fear Inoculum. It's the title of the album. It's the first song. It is a 10-minute...
I was just going to say, can I say when I saw the time, I was like,
Tool.
Oh, I wanted to blow my own dick off.
It is a 10-minute song.
10 minutes.
And it is a mellow song.
I know.
It picks up at around the 7-minute mark, and it goes to kind of a bridge.
Yeah, 3 minutes I listened to it before I wanted to kill a small dog.
It took me a couple listens, and then after a couple listens, I have had it on a loop for the for the week.
Just this one song?
One song. I probably listened to 20. No.
What's a song the length of an album?
Well, the album itself is 7 songs. And look at that. Hold it up. Hold it to the mic. Oh, that's good. Oh, you just.
Mad.
We are going to blow. You fucking cock. Listen to that.
If the bass player was Matt Damon, I feel like that maybe what it would sound like.
Wait till the drums hit it. Did you hear those drums? That's like you just made me happy.
Yo, here's the thing.
Is there a thing?
Yeah, here's the thing. Tool. I mean,
modern day Rush.
Doom's a musician. I'm a musician.
That's interesting. And I'm not.
No, they're an amazing band.
Damn it. Right?
No, they're an amazing band. They're a musician's band. However, have you seen them live?
I haven't.
You've seen them live once?
By design.
I've seen them live 2 or 3 times.
Really?
And
you guys are making fun of me.
No.
Who watches The Watchmen?
I've had some very strange experiences watching them live. I saw them at...
I definitely wasn't high when I saw them.
Yeah, it was a mistake.
I saw them at Lollapalooza.
Ooh.
long time ago.
Okay.
And it was, the lineup was Snoop Dogg, Tool, and Korn. You would have loved to be there.
The Holy Trinity of music.
I literally have them tattooed on my back, all three of them.
However, Fieldy that night had the sniffles. So Korn did not play.
Shut it.
They did not.
What does Korn sound like again? I can't remember.
That's disturbed.
Thank you both.
So I saw Tool that night. Regardless of everything else that happened, Snoop Dogg was fine. Sure. Korn didn't play. I think Tool played a longer set.
So two songs?
Yeah, about three.
47 minutes apiece.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
They don't do small songs.
And I loved Tool at the time. So as reference, I loved Tool at this time in my life. I went and saw them live. And the bass player was... So very bright stage.
Mm-hmm.
Drummer Dana Carey was on a huge riser. Bass player was a new bass player for the band at the time, I think, on this tour. He was painted blue with clouds all over him.
Mm-hmm.
The guitar player always looked the way he looks on every tour. He just looked like himself. And Maynard.
Tool?
Yeah. And Maynard was in a wig, fake breasts, a bell bottoms, and platform shoes. And he would spider walk around the stage the whole set. And this was before he would hide behind screens.
Boom! I was like, he was actually on stage? That's crazy. Yeah,
for the whole set.
Wow.
And on the screen behind them, huge screen, it was just animals fornicating the whole set. And I'm not going to say it blew us away, but it did blow us back a little bit where we were like, this is the first time all of us had seen them. And after listening to their EP and after listening to... I can't remember the name of the first. Is it Undertow?
Undertow was the biggie with Sober on it.
So yeah, we were all into that. We were all into some new stuff that was coming out at the time.
Like Lateralus, Undertow.
Yeah, it blew us back. And we're just like, I think we just left that show. Like, we wanted to see Korn because that's why we were there. Saw Tool.
Wow.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
That just took a lot of...
That took a right turn. But so when you hear someone giving shit to Tool, there's respect. It's almost like I'm like... riffing on one of my friends and like making fun of them in a weird way. Yeah. Like
it's
like, I respect them completely.
Sure.
And we should have a bottle of Maynard James Keenan's wine on the table right now.
Should. Yeah. I can find it if it exists.
It does. He has his own winery. He has his own cellar or his own,
he'd probably be like a cool what's it called? Dude, a field just sit with down grapes. And talk with. I feel it'd like probably be all pretty of it's crazy. An act. I mean,
yes. Well, yes.
Like, I hope it's an act. Because that's some Hannibal Lecter shit if it's not. But
yeah. I work with a guy who's a major metalhead, and when this track came out, I was like, dude, what's your take on Tool? And he's like, that's a band that I loved to hate and then hated to love. And I was like, that's an interesting comment. I'm like, I kind of pick up on it. I'm like, does this tie into kind of Maynard's, like, I'm not going to be on stage thing? He's like, oh, yeah. I'm like, yeah, because that's kind of a douchey move. I mean, I get it. It's like grandstanding and all, like it's his motif, but it's still kind of fucked up.
I saw them down the road. And I saw one of those concerts where, like, I spent, like, $75 to get a ticket, got in, and, like, he was behind the screen the whole time, and there was nothing on stage. It was just screens
and
psychedelic imagery.
Yeah, I went, when I saw him, mind you, I was 13. This was my first experience with a live show ever, so.
And you dropped some acid.
I didn't.
It feels like you almost need to.
It almost like you didn't have to. Like, for me, he wasn't on stage, but it was like my mind, I felt like I had taken like acid.
Right.
As like there were naked women dangling from ropes like over the stage, and then they had
very a la Kid Rock.
The spider crawlers.
My name is Kid.
They have naked, probably different naked ladies, but it tripped me out for a while. Like, I mean, I still vividly remember that concert 20 years later, and it was weird though. Like, it took away from the music for somebody younger, and it freaked me the fuck out. Those people that did like the head dangle walk on all fours around the stage. Yeah. Like, so much was going on. I forgot he wasn't on stage. I mean, the band, like you said, they're great, but it was like, it was like a sensory overload.
Them.
Wow. It really was.
Awesome.
Yeah. Well, we'll all go one day.
Yeah.
Yes.
Next tour.
Yeah. So, and I'm sure, frankly, this track to me, I was like, it's going to be a misstep. It's not going to be good. It is a very classic Tool sound. It is a little bit more mellow. It builds to the end. But I was like, I want more. So I think that this album I'm going to like go deep dive into.
What would be funny is if the album was just a 47 minute version of the song that you've already
heard. It's probable. And I heard it's the Dana Carvey guy, the drummer guy.
Dana Carvey.
They said it's his album. Like it's a very drum forward album. I think they're pulling back
every
on vocals.
Album's a drum
forward. Yeah. I mean, he's the best musician in the band.
Pretty great. So cool.
Would it be awesome if Dana Carvey filled in for Dana Carvey? He's a drummer.
Could it be Satan?
Not to blow your minds, but a little fact about the guitar player from Tool. I can't remember his name.
Good start.
All you Tool fans can murder email me us on social media.
Leave us a message.
He helped design the Predator mask and also helped design parts of Terminator as well.
Don't believe you.
Look it up.
See you?
Yeah.
Wow.
He is a he's big into visual effects or... He works in the movie industry.
Wow. Yeah. So their guitarist is Giger? No, he's the guy to the alien.
No, but yeah, look it up. I'm awesome. Not lying, or I may be. Did you already give your click to pick?
I did not.
Okay.
Doomy.
You guys ready? Here's Doom's pick of the week.
Yes, go on.
I got nothing.
All right. So my pick of the week is a kind of a revisit. I think it was a pick of the week for me.
Let me just take a break. It's his pick of the week is Taylor Swift's new album, Love. Now he is a huge Tay Tay fan. We all are, but
aren't we?
It's really delving into her relationship with
Love. Necrophilia.
I would buy the fuck out of that album.
Everyone loves Taylor Swift's Necrophilia. That's her last album, right?
It'd be a bold move.
Dead dick, shake it off, shake it off, dead dick.
You get applause for that one. And then I cut the applause.
Yeah, because you don't deserve the full. No, yeah. My click of the week, pick of the week.
Dick, shake it off.
Netflix. I think I talked about this. I swear I did. I didn't finish it at the time. It was Love, Death, and Robots. It's a Netflix series.
Yes,
and it is anywhere from 10 to 20 minute episodes, and it's a great amalgamation of shit. I don't know how to really explain it.
That was actually going to be my click to pick this week because my buddy wanted me to watch it, but I only watched one episode.
That first episode was fucking amazing.
I don't feel
it's episodic.
Like I can't give it as a click to pick yet because I want to watch more.
I was pissed. The first episode, brilliant decision to start with that. I immediately wanted to watch an entire arc of what this was.
Yeah.
I was bummed, but at the same time, I really don't know. I think I'm going to spitball. Maybe let's say 22 episodes.
Holy shit.
In the first season. Now, mind you, some of them are 7 minutes long. So it's quick, but there are some that are, I finished it 100%. I loved it. I would say out of the 22, maybe 4 or 5 I didn't really connect with or were a little goofy for my taste. But even the ones like at the start, I was like, ugh, this looks like something a 10-year-old would watch. Yeah. And it turns out to be like a mech suit alien invasion episode. I was like, holy shit. Like it just kept pulling me in different directions. And I loved almost every minute of it. And
really?
Any sci-fi fan needs to check the show out.
What the fuck? How have I not seen it? Because I know this made it through the circuit. I think there's a couple A-list directors involved.
It makes. And it's there was an episode with Topher Grace and Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
And okay, so they're all animated or
yeah.
some form of computer generated images. There's one episode where it's Topher Grace and her.
I didn't know.
And they're in their new apartment and in their freezer.
Underwear.
No. Yes. Okay. Maybe. In the freezer, civilization exists. And it's super fast and it goes from cavemen to like nuclear war. And they go to bed and they come back and stuff happens, like to not spoil it, but
yeah,
I stuff like that sucked me in, and I'm like, well, what happens to the freezer? Like, what the fuck? I didn't think I would like it, and it's wow. All of them are so well done,
yeah,
start to finish. Give it a watch.
I'm crazy. So is it adult based at times?
There's a lot of dick in it.
Is there? So because when I heard about the show, it gave up a vibe of the.
I have no good sound effect for a lot of dick in it.
There's so much dick in it. Okay, to the point where I was like, no one was in the room with me.
except for my dog.
So you started. You took it out.
I look at Izzy and I'm like, I'm like,
you look at Izzy and what?
I'm like, there's an abnormal amount of dick in this.
Right.
And she nodded. I don't know. She can't speak, but she acknowledged
it. Your dog has dick dar.
So. It was weird. I mean, it was like almost forcing dick into it. This is taking a weird turn, and I'm sorry. But if you can get past the digital created dicks, I think you'll very much enjoy the show.
I'm in. But no, actually, that's the dick thing isn't it, but I was like, it's an adult-based, because yes. I got a vibe when I first heard about it of the, was that animated movie Heavy Metal, which was a big deal back in the day.
It's your one-way ticket to midnight.
Wow.
I loved Heavy Metal. I mean, it was like my first digital boob.
Yeah, it was, but a lot of us. It was.
Isn't that the Red Rocker, too?
Radar Rider.
No, but the song you just sang, it's the Red Rocker.
Yeah.
Callback to episode 5, where we talked about how he's a trailblazer.
The podcast historian?
I am.
Nice. He knows his shit.
Well,
man.
Yeah. Well, I can remember back one or two.
Not me. I can't remember an hour ago.
Did you drug my drink? Twice. Yeah.
So your breakdown is, if you can look past digital dick, this show.
Get it. Yeah. Get in nice. There. Nice.
I'm in.
Deep black.
I needed that kick.
Do it.
Into digital dick.
Love, death, and dick.
Love, death, and dick.
And I'm going to have Dead Dick Shake It Off stuck in my head now. I know, right? For a while now.
Anybody more?
Who's the real villain here? Really?
We have to record that now.
I will.
Yeah.
Look for the voicemail.
Is that going to be on Weird Al's next album?
The missing track.
Okay, we need to transform into our topic of the week.
Hashtag lawsuits are coming.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess if we're getting sued, fuck it. Let's do it one more time, just because.
What transformer is that, do you think?
All of them.
You think it's all? They all have the same noise? That's so unrealistic. Not in Michael Bay's movies, though. They all have different noises.
It's Optimus Prime.
Optimus Prime.
It feels like it.
Yeah.
It's a Cliff Jumper. Nice. You know who that
Starscape?
Is? You don't know.
Is Cliff Jumper
the guy? Starscream.
That's the one.
Damn it.
does Cliff Jumper get sliced in half
yeah.
in Bumblebee?
Fuck it.
Have you seen Bumblebee yet?
No. I've heard it was okay.
No, it's
watch
good.
It with your son.
You like he's good?
Yeah.
He's kind of
my voice cracked. Like, yeah, it's good.
Is it good?
It's a good movie.
He wept. It's good and got hard at the same time.
Yeah, I think he wants to get in transport. Earlier today, he made a reference to he's really into a Lamborghini. All of a sudden, I'm like, that's what I was at your age. And he said, yeah, it looks like a transformer. I'm like, we haven't seen any transformers.
Can I tell you a story? Real quick story. I think I might have told you this one. Showed Kev Bumblebee, most of it. There is some intensity there. I mean, there are military scenes. Yeah. First Transformers movie. I can watch everything with Shia LaBeouf. All of the military stuff is boring as fuck.
Mm. It is.
I'm sorry. So I just transformed.
Yeah,
I just,
John Voight, you piece of shit.
Yeah. So showed Bumblebee to Kev, most of it. Driving to drop him off at school the next day. And behind me is a yellow Camaro, right?
Nice.
Bumblebee's a Camaro, right?
Yes.
Pulls up next to the car. I slow down. I'm like, hey, Kev, you have to look out the right side. Bumblebee's here. Pulls up, and the car has the Autobot symbol on it.
Yes, I'm familiar with that. I know other people who have Autobot symbols in their car.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
I noticed that.
Rolled his window down. Kev looked out. I'm like, Kev, tell Bumblebee, like, something. And, like, he couldn't speak. And then the guy rolled down his window and gave us the thumbs up. And then we drove off, and then as we were driving off, my son says, Dad, what is Bumblebee doing here right now? Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. And that's awesome, too, by the way.
Yeah. But no, he saw
that's
Bumblebee, and
the
it's like,
best.
Now he has an Optimus Prime. He has two different Bumblebee figures, and like that's all he wants to play with.
If he couldn't get any cooler, he ups the game, and
that's
now he loves Transformers.
I'm writing that shit this week, because it looked fun. Yeah. It looked way, I mean...
Clearance bin at Target. I got two different Bumblebees, and they kept him busy on an airplane for 4 hours.
Winning. Hashtag dad hack.
Winning dad.
I'm serious.
I think that's what our podcast is.
Yeah, wait, did you just say, Tujo's, that you're...
What's my name again?
Three Toes.
I feel like that sound effect has to stick with me from now on. Thanks.
No.
I call dibs.
Yours is...
What about this one?
There it is.
Or the sexy one.
No.
Oh, I'll take that one. Three Toes.
Three Toes. Three Toes is Limp Bizkit. No. Get him the Lamborghini Transformer.
Yes.
Does he have one?
He doesn't.
Well, there you go. Sideswipe or Sunstreaker.
Okay. I'm on my your way. Choice.
Okay, we
Sunstreaker?
Where are we going? We need to get into the topic.
Yes. Right.
Yeah.
Topic time.
The topic this week is we're talking about what we look for in a movie theater experience. When we decide to go see a movie, because a lot of them are tentpole now because we're so busy with our lives, what are we looking for? Do we just go to some old rinky-dink theater?
No.
Do we to some crappy-ass drive-in theater?
Ugh, to get AIDS?
Whoa.
From the Skeeters?
You hate your drive-ins.
Hashtag, I got no time for malaria. I know Helen's on my side.
And neither does Helen.
She always is.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's my side biatch.
She's going to call her bitch, too.
So what do we look for when we want to buy our tickets for a movie? Like,
so I'm going to go backwards on
this
answer.
There's a helicopter over us right now.
That's awesome, man. Black Ops.
Freaking me the fuck out.
I'm going to go backwards. So theaters these days are interesting that it's a bit of a dice roll if you don't know the theater well. Like, mm-hmm. I'm sure you've got our local theater memorized because you go there quite a bit. But if you don't know theater numbers and, like, the size of them.
Yeah.
All right, maybe I'm going to say I'm wrong because these days you can go online and you can look at kind of the ticket buying for seats and stuff like that.
Yeah.
A lot of these multiplexes where they have 20, 30 theaters in there, what they've done is they got two or three real big ones, but then they have a lot that are like a closet.
And oh, yeah. You're talking 12 seats.
Yeah, there was one recently. It wasn't Once Upon a Time, but there was a movie I saw recently where I went in and it was
Dora the Explorer.
That was it. There's so many dicks.
Weird. Oh,
so
what was she exploring?
Can we hold for edit? We're going to delete that last segment. But the theater was like so small. There was like 10 seats in there. I was like, this isn't even a theater. So. Yeah. I think part of this is important is understanding the landscape of what you're going into. That kind of sucks to get up in a real small theater.
Yeah. I mean, when I went to go see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I was just looking for a specific time. Right. I needed it to be at a specific time because that's all I had that day.
Yes.
So I found one at an Arclight and walked in. Lobby is amazing. Theater is very old school, like very old school seats. We are so, so spoiled with the seats that we get now in some of these theaters.
Yes.
AMC is really great at it. I can't remember the name of the theater that we have over here. CMX, maybe, I think it's called. They put amazing lounging, reclining, Lazy Boy seats into these theaters, and it spoils us. So when I go to see a movie in a theater that has a seat that was ahead of the game 10 years ago.
Yep.
I get pissed off.
Because it's not the same.
Yeah, and then I'm going to sit through a 2-hour and 45-minute Tarantino movie in this seat, and I want to recline and have the ability to nap if I want.
I mean, because, you know,
yeah.
Why not?
Yeah, why not?
That's what we're used to.
Yeah. So had that experience recently, and which is completely different than, say, going to Dolby, which is where we saw Endgame. And we decided to see Endgame in Dolby for very specific reasons. You want the best sound. You want the best picture that you could possibly have. You want the best comfortability in the chairs.
Wait, we didn't see... Didn't we... Did we? Didn't I thought we, Endgame was IMAX.
Did we see it IMAX?
We didn't want to risk it because we saw Captain
Marvel.
No,
we saw it Dolby, and I remember...
Our second viewing was IMAX.
I thought we saw...
I thought we did back-to-back IMAX.
I thought we did, too.
IMAX? Yeah. We did back-to-back IMAX. We hit both IMAX times.
Yep,
we did.
Yes.
Because the last Dolby movie I saw was Captain Marvel.
Yeah. And our last Captain Marvel experience was garbage.
Yeah,
well, it's because they fucked up.
And we saw it in Dolby and their projectors weren't
but that was a calibrated. That was a theater fuck up. Because then before that, was it Panther? What was the first one that I saw with you guys that was Dolby? It might have been, was it Infinity War? Maybe. But that originally when you guys were pitching that to me.
Oh, Dolby's my shit.
I was like, and it was next to, we're fortunate, our theater's first world problems, is an IMAX and a Dolby across from each other. And you guys, one of the movies, probably it was Infinity War, like, we're going to go in Dolby. I'm like, you guys, IMAX is right next door. Why would you make that mistake? And that was a game changer for me because the picture was giant. It was perfectly crisp.
It's still huge.
The seats... Great.
I mean, it's reclinable and leather.
Real nice. But the sound combined with that, wow.
Yeah. Like, we just saw Far From Home, and that's where we saw
it. That's right.
In Dolby. And
is that great? I still remember.
Yeah.
It was fan-fucking-tastic.
It was great. Yeah.
You know what? Some would say that it was so great that drive-in theaters don't need to exist anymore.
Is that true?
No. So I don't know which ones to stop.
And speaking of which, just to make sure we're caught up on homework.
Good thing the buttons light up.
Right. Yeah. I did finally see it and loved it.
Far From Home.
Yes.
Thank God.
Loved every second of it. So
God damn it, I had that sandpaper dildo ready and loaded.
That's a sandpaper dildo.
Give me it again. Oh, did you hear the right before it went in? You hear that?
No.
Oh, it's inserted.
I'm not going down this road with you. It was so much better than it was so much better than I thought it would be. And frankly, I like Gyllenhaal a lot, but when I first saw him cast, I was like, I'm not feeling it.
Come on.
Turns out the arc that they go Amazing. Through with his character and how they tie it into, again, fucking the retconning of storylines into other points within the MCU, so beautiful.
Did we spoil anything for you? Did you feel spoiled?
No. Well, I mean, you said he was a villain.
Yeah.
But
If you don't know who Mysterio is, you're not a Superman.
But they
Superman. You're not a Superman fan.
It was great. So, all right. So, what about the transition to home viewing versus theaters? Because it's happening more and more.
Yeah. Yeah. But I have to. I just the theater aspect. I watching Endgame with you two awesome people was one of the single greatest experiences.
Keep going.
It was.
You want some of my popcorn?
Hands down. Oh my! It was one of the single greatest experiences for me at a theater. I truly can't put into words the goosebumps, like the atmosphere. It was palpable, and the second viewing with Three Toes in the same night. I mean, to hear crowds erupt and be part of that audience is. For me, why I go to see movies in the theater. And then now that I know we can play little tidbits of stuff and not get sued. Saw that motherfucker in theaters. And what? I wanted to fucking kill everyone and then myself. It was one of the single worst.
Wait, because of the people?
Oh,
what?
I had a family.
Oh boy.
Of 8 grown ass women, maybe pushing 300 pounds each, behind me, talking the entire time. No, it gets worse. It gets worse. If that wasn't fucked up enough, we had 2 kids. We had a family of kids to the right and a family of kids to the left. And you know what? It's a Disney movie.
Yeah,
I get it. There's gonna be kids there.
Yes.
I mean, they're kids. Yes. They don't know the setting. I've made peace. But when you have grown ass adults, they started singing the fucking songs out loud.
My.
Dude.
That's a good one.
If I had a fucking death beam, it would have been anarchy in that theater.
But by the end, were you singing with them?
No. And that's the thing. I know all the songs. Can you feel the love tonight? I couldn't. I couldn't feel shit, Elton John.
Wait. They were singing?
Singing along? The songs. Oh my God. And I feel like that. I feel like the movie wasn't bad. Truth be told, going into it, I knew it wasn't going to be the animated film.
This is the challenge. And yes, I know we circle the drain on this a lot because I know this has come up on even our previous incarnation of the podcast, is people are the worst in almost every fashion. Yeah. And when you go to a movie theater, you are surrounded by that. How many of them and how many close to you are that worst factor? And it happens a lot. And that fucking sucks.
Did you see Lion King Thursday preview night?
Yes.
It's hard to really, I guess it's hard. It would have been hard to gauge the fan that was coming out to see that on Thursday preview night. Like, I still regret not seeing Once Upon a Time in Hollywood at like a midnight screening or a Thursday preview, because then you would know going there that you were seeing that with Tarantino fans or Compadres, people that want to see a Tarantino movie, and like they would be gasping at the right places. They wouldn't be singing along. Then again, it wasn't a musical. We're like Endgame, you know who's going there.
Yeah. That scene where Cap gets the hammer is burned into my brain.
Same.
Forever.
Same.
Because I screamed with Three Toes and the rest of the audience knowing it was coming, but like that was a real rush of adrenaline.
It was, I mean, top moment. And I love the fact that you referenced that movie and our experience with it, because that scene, I don't know if I can find another moment in my entire movie watching history that was that palpable and electric, and the entire audience had an experience with that movie in that scene. And that was, and that is something that you cannot replace at home. That is something you cannot, is something you can't, like, that was top tier special.
I'll tell you how I can replace it at home, or just very minimally. So at home I don't have a full surround sound setup. I used to be very passionate about that, but as we moved into a new home, I wasn't able to do that with our current setup. So I was gifted some very nice Sonos equipment, and I know people hate me for it. So I have enough of a system that I can crank up and get some emotion behind the sound. So my son is not old enough to watch something like Infinity War or Endgame.
Touché.
There is a scene in Infinity War that rivals the hammer caught by Cap, and that is Thor coming down into Wakanda.
Yeah. Mm. That was that scene for sure.
It's great. It's great.
I have played that for him a number of times, and the first time I played it for him, I spoke to him about what it was. I said, okay, in the scene you're going to be watching, you're going to see superheroes losing, and superheroes that can't fight their way out of a specific situation. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to watch a superhero come down from the sky and save them all. So he's like, okay, let's watch it. So I turned it on, cranked up the volume, and you see, like, Cap is, like, being over...
eaten by those fucking things. He's being eaten
by aliens.
Yes.
You see Hulkbuster. You see War Machine. I think you see...
Black Panther.
Even Winter Soldier. Like, you see them all losing. And then you see the Bifrost come down, and you see Thor come down, and then start to jog and start to yell, like, bring me Thanos! The whole time, my son was running around the room, jumping, and he couldn't contain. He's like, yeah. Like that, having at least enough system at home to be able to get that to my son, that was enough of a...
Sounds like a plug for Sonos, this fucking guy.
It is.
They are a sponsor.
They could be.
Could be.
Sonos. Which brings us to our first sponsorship.
Hint.
Woo!
Yeah, Sonos.
Sam, my finger was hovering over that button for a while.
But no. I think that scene rivals the... I mean, I think Cap...
Okay.
Trumps it because it's Captain America catching Thor's hammer.
And not to take away from either of those, but I can't stress the portal scene when Sam starts talking and he says, on your left, and the portal opens, and, like,
tears.
The emotion that you see, like, I've only seen the scene like 55 times since it's come out. When Captain America looks at Black Panther, like, that's real emotion. That's a human being, like, he's fighting back tears that he's so happy to see his friends coming back.
He was ready to die.
He was.
I mean, that great comic book shot just before there, where they pan back. When it's like, it's everything.
And then it's just like a perfect scene where everyone starts yelling in unison. And you're like, that's what, as a human, you want. You want to see, like, Earth band together to fight an enemy.
Yeah.
And that scene when Captain America says, Avengers assemble, and Thor yells and Black Goosebumps. Panther yells. It gets me every single time. I know it's coming. I'm like, and then, like, I can't. Like, that is perfect execution.
There's this choice they made to have Captain America say it in a very... He doesn't yell it.
No.
But they made the choice to have him say it in the way that he does, and then let the other members, like, you know, like Thor and Black Panther,
explode
kind of like
into the scene.
Like, put an exclamation point on it that, like, they build it instead of, like, just you could have had Cap go, like, just yell it.
Which he does. I mean, like, the comics and cartoons, he's like, Avengers assemble! And then you see, like, Hulk punch through a wall. And
so is phase four? No, phase five? No, phase four. Is phase four going to be a build-up to the next Avenger that can say that?
Maybe. But I can't wait to see the villain. I can't wait.
Explain.
Oh,
the big bad?
Yeah, I mean, what did it take?
Here's the problem, though.
Shit.
You didn't think you were looking for
the
villain
in
phase one through three.
No.
You just thought you were watching awesome movies.
And the fact that they teased him three movies in.
That's what I'm saying. They talk about three or four films like, oh, an Infinity Stone. And then right away people were like, oh, well, that's, you know, Thanos.
Yeah, but then they held off for 16 movies.
I mean, I guess I just can't wait to see who they pick for the underground villain. And if it's Doctor Doom.
Woo!
You saw the stuff that we posted on Instagram with.
If they got Mads Mikkelsen.
Oh.
Holy shit. Nuggets.
Perfect.
I would.
What did I just watch him in?
He's perfect.
I watched him in an old Shia LaBeouf movie, and he was amazing in it. It was a very strange movie. I don't even know the name of it. And I don't
know.
I'm embarrassed that I keep referencing Shia LaBeouf movies.
Look, we all know that Chewie is a huge fan, and that your top of the celebrity doomy list is Shia LaBeouf.
This laughter track was taken straight out of Even Stevens.
Yes.
Helen was at an Even Stevens recording.
Are you serious?
No.
Well, would have been cooler if it was.
Or if it was full of dicks.
We kind of got off topic.
We tend to do that.
Yeah.
All right, so what about else about theater experience?
Oh, yeah, you said home. Home.
What I think we're getting that, though, is that we just kind of laid out why we go see Thursday night, preview night movies. It's because we want to see those with our peers and people that are going to be excited
for it.
Like-minded individuals, yeah.
Have you seen Hobbs yet?
Heard great things about it.
I did too. I'm not gonna lie, I've been slacking. I haven't been to my Mecca in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we also choose specific formats because we want the best quality.
Mm-hmm.
But then moving home, I mean, do you have any type of setup at home? Three toes?
Yeah, so I've got a surround sound in the basement, okay. Which
32
is
32-inch tube?
It is a 32-inch tube, and I'm not talking about my Johnson.
Whoa!
I was going to hit it if you didn't. But it's a old school kind of piece together surround sound, like a 5-1 system. Recently upgraded the amp so that I can support a lot bigger sound systems in the future, because it's sort of a piecemeal system. You build it up.
Yeah.
But it's enough, and it's great for those times. As a matter of fact, last weekend, I think, and it's funny because we had that message from somebody talking about Speed Racer. Weird. introduced the kid to the Wachowski Speed Racer movie.
Yeah.
And that's a perfect home experience because we went downstairs to the basement. It's a movie that really exists well with the surround sound kind of going on.
Yeah.
And enjoyable. And so for me, the home experience is... There's the convenience, and then there's really, it's the thing, Doom, you were talking about, where I'm a magnet for assholes in the theater, and I've been more than enough times where a movie that I probably would have liked a lot more was marred by that.
Oh, yeah.
So,
it'll crush it.
All the points we brought up of why it's so great to go to the movies are still true, but there's always that factor of like, fuck, is somebody going to, like, dick this movie for me?
Yeah. Not to.
I mean, even watching from home, I wonder if somebody's going to dick this movie.
I think the technology that you can get at home, and like Three Toes, you and I were talking to a cinephile the other day.
Yep.
And I mentioned that I had a Sonos system, and I could tell that the cinephile, or not cinephile, but like home theater, enthusiast. I could tell that even he was kind of like, oh, Sonos? Like, however, I enjoy the fact that there's these companies putting out soundbars and subwoofers and stuff that like is somewhat affordable. You don't need to have everything drilled into the wall and wired anymore.
Oh, fuck that.
We've gotten to a place where we don't need that, and it sounds great. Amazing.
Correct.
So, yeah, it's
old school, new school. Like if somebody, still refuses to buy digital copies of movies 2 weeks early.
Yeah.
Or somebody buys them in standard definition.
All right. One time. God damn it. I should
Ultron,
have
Ultron, baby.
And not to change the subject again, but for some reason, just recently, I don't know, I've been a huge Tarantino fan for a while, but in some of the Once Upon a Time in Hollywood stuff, talking about sound, someone pointed out that he has amazing Foley work done in his movies. So like all of the sound effects and stuff. And the person was talking about in Kill Bill during the fight between Beatrix Kiddo and... Shoot.
Oh, was it L Driver or was it Cottonmouth?
Big Metal Ball.
Oren Ishii?
No, that's the...
Oh.
Miko?
I just watched it.
Isn't it?
Miko Torres? No. shoot, yeah. I'm not going to remember her name. The girl in the skirt with the big...
The school girl.
Yes.
With the
big metal ball. She...
just dangling.
The Foley work... it does dangle. There's Foley work that in that scene where, have you watched it on your surround at home?
No, I should have.
Kill Bill 1? Yeah. There's Foley work that is amazing. Like you hear that ball kind of swirling around the room.
It's incredible. All of, like, the sound on almost all of those fights takes it to way another level.
Yeah. The sound of, like, someone crashing into a table, they kind of overlay the sound of 10 pins in a bowling alley being knocked over. Nice. Like little things like that you, that are just accentuated by having somewhat of a system at home that you could enjoy it more.
Yeah, let's do it. It's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so we all agree that the optimum way to watch movies is on our phones. Okay.
Sadly,
I do watch it more on my phones than anything else.
So next tentpole movie that comes out, what way do you want to see it in it? Like, without even thinking about it, where do you go?
Dolby.
Yeah, I would say Dolby too. However, we talked in one of our previous casts about trying to check out one of these new formats that they have, like 4DX.
Yes.
You want to pass on that?
Yes.
Where like the chair moves.
Yeah.
I totally forgot. I copied and pasted. I forgot to send this to you. Doom. It too.
Oh.
Dropping at the drive-in.
We
all float down here.
So I can get my negative 5.1 surround sound?
Yes.
No, here's what we do. We don't go see it opening night, but we all dress up like Pennywise.
Yes.
And we go to the drive-in. And we don't walk out until about 45 minutes into the movie.
Just walk around with balloons.
I'm just freaking people
out. I'm just going to walk up to car windows very slowly and stare.
Yes. I mean, that would actually be
Pennywise or just yourself?
That's the real question now, isn't it?
Yeah, with balloons.
Okay, so Dolby it is.
Yep.
Dolby.
And before, just to drive home, how important Dolby is, I went and saw Godzilla, King of the Monsters.
Yeah.
Mm.
Elton John's Rocket Man was in Dolby. I had to see it in IMAX, and I was pissed. Like, that's
a weird choice.
I know. I mean, I get it. It was a musical, and it's about sound. But, like, I left the theater like, man, how much better would this movie could have been if it was in Dolby?
That movie in Dolby would be really...
Are you fucking kidding me? I love Elton John, and I love Taron Egerton, but I was pissed.
That would have been bananas.
I mean,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking... Fuck. You know what I want to know? I want to know how many times we said dicks on this episode.
Oh, too many.
Somebody count.
Viewers call in.
I think it's 16. 16 dicks.
No way. We're got to be approaching triple digits on dicks.
There might be.
Should we do it like a South Park episode for shit? Just say dicks. Dick.
Well, I think we need to transform into the outro of this cast.
All right.
So you want to see us out?
Well there, guys and gals, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Asteroid Factory podcast.
Our nerd knowledge was on point, wasn't it?
Always. On point.
I guess, yeah. I guess. Check out our website, asteroidfactory.com, where you can find all of our...
Dicks.
Dicks!
You can find out where you can find our podcast. It's available in all places where you can listen to fine podcasts. Leave us a message. That if we use it on the podcast, we might send you something nice. Leave us a message through social media. Hit us up on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. And don't forget to put your ankle in it.
Into it.
Ankles.